Welcome to another episode of the Bakari Sellers Podcast. Today we have somebody who is just an amazing, amazing person and an infectious personality and very, very talented. None other than Miss Sherry Shepherd. How are you?
Hi, Bakari. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm glad that you're doing well. This has been a year, to say the least, but I'm glad you're doing well.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm having a good time.
Good, good, good. So my show is unique because we start each one of our conversations by having our guest walk us through the arc of their career. And while everyone knows today, Sherry Shepherd, they may not know how you got your start in the business. Can you talk to listeners about how you broke into the business and how you've been able to build and sustain a successful career in Hollywood?
Oh, man. I think, just being a legal secretary, when I worked in Beverly Hills, it was just so boring. We would go there, work, go home, go to sleep, go there, work. And one day I said to the other secretaries, about eight of them, I said, let's go do something different. And I got us tickets to the Comedy Store. And we went to the Comedy Store. And before the show started, I was making a lot of the people around me laugh. And Andrew Dice Clay got on stage and he was making everybody mad because that's when he used to do the hickory dickory dock, beep, 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 beep. And a lady turned around to me and she said, you're as funny as he, you should get on that stage and do that. And she just planted a seed. Just goes to show you, you really have to watch what you say to people because you have the power to destroy them or plant a seed. And she planted the seed. And I remember talking to Andrew Dice Clay and Eddie Griffin that night, and they really encouraged me to do stand up. And I started it. I would go to like all these little open mic nights, take the bus there, walk back home. But I love being on stage making people laugh. I couldn't get enough of it. And I've always done that my whole career. And then I just got into acting. And that struggle of trying to book a job, I've lost out so many roles to people who are big. But I kept pursuing it. It just was a dream. And same thing with the talk show. I always had a dream to be a talk show. So be a talk show host, excuse me. So to see all this play out. Thank you. I'm having fun.
So look, there's a lot to cover about what you've been up to. So let's first talk about your stand-up because you're actively still on stage doing your thing. Because, sometimes when y'all get famous and start, them checks get bigger. y'all don't hit the stage as much. Where's your show in New York this weekend and how can folks support that?
My show is in New York. It's this Friday, March 31st at 10 o'clock. So you got to take a nap before you come see me.
At
10 o'clock at night.
I'm sorry. I'm 38. I love you, but
I got a lot of that. I overstand. Believe you me. It's a lot of people like, wait a minute. What? It's not at 7? No, this is a late show. It's at 10 o'clock.
In New York, they wild like that too. Because my wife, when we go up there, she'd be like, look, either you're going to get day out of me or you're going to get night out of me. You will not get both.
Yeah, New York, that's why they say it's a city that never sleeps because they're always up. So I'm used to doing 10 o'clock shows because in LA, we would do late night shows. Those are the great rooms to go to when it's late to try out your material because people don't have the patience. So you have to be funny. So I like that. But it's March 31st, Friday at 10. And then I have one at the City Winery May 4th, which is a Thursday. And that's at 8 o'clock. So see, you can come to the 8 o'clock show. Be home in bed by 9:55. You could get up.
I'm gonna need that to get up on Friday.
Exactly.
So you do stand up, you've done sitcoms, and you got your own show that we'll talk about, and you've done movies and the stage. Talk to me about your preference or the difference and how you enjoy them differently, other than I'm sure the movie checks are probably larger than the rest of them.
Well, it depends. If you're doing TV and you're on a regular show, it's actually larger than the movies because you're on a regular show. Now, I'm not Viola Davis. I'm not, Idris Elba. So those are different. Those are different level checks. But if you're on a show on TV every single week and a regular, that's what everybody wants to do. But what do I like more? Everything has something different. Stand up, it's just me on stage and I'm telling my life, making people laugh. Acting, I play a different person, which is a role playing. That takes me back to when I was a little girl. Being a talk show host, I get to interact in that kind of way of just Sherry. So all of them, I'm very blessed to do everything. Being an author, just sitting down and writing my thoughts on paper to inspire people, that's a whole nother flavor. So I'm thankful that I get to check off all the boxes.
Hmm. Well, you are a utility woman, to say the least. You can absolutely do it all. Two Funny Mamas, what is it? How far do you go back with Kim Whitley? And what's the impetus behind your new tour?
Two Funny Mamas is the podcast that I've been doing for 3 years with one of my best friends, Kim Whitley. It took 3 years to get her to do this podcast with me, but I waited. And we've won 2 NAACP Image Awards for Outstanding Podcast. So it was something that we wanted to do just to make people laugh during the quarantine. And then we just kept going because people kept saying, we need you. We need to escape. So that's us. And we've decided, because once we won this NAACP Image Award, we said, well, let's take it on the road. So we're doing 3 dates together because we're both moms and we both work. And we will be May 19th, we are in New Brunswick, New Jersey. May 20th, we're in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. And May 21st, we are in Delaware, Wilmington, Delaware. So all of my dates are on Sherry Show TV. So it's on SherryShowTV.com is where you can
get them. Simone said, of all things you're supposed to remember is how people can get tickets. Like,
ask me what my name is and I'll tell you Drew Barrymore. I don't. Sometimes I don't know my head from my butt.
Have you been watching this Gwyneth Paltrow trial?
Gwyneth Paltrow's on trial?
I guess the answer is no.
What?
It's the wildest thing. You know, she like backed into somebody. It was a skiing accident. And the man said that Gwyneth gave him $300,000 worth of medical bills. And now he has multiple personalities. When I tell you that I reached out to my white friends today and said they got to have an internal meeting because this trial is a hot mess, you got to watch it.
Oh my gosh. I rarely watch TV. That is so weird to me. I'm like, Gwyneth Paltrow, I've heard nothing about this. It sounds like a money grab, but I don't know anybody that's gotten multiple personalities from a skiing accident. I've heard of broken legs.
Yeah, this guy's going through it. But you know, let me ask you this question, because I've asked this to some comedians who I've been blessed and fortunate enough to come on the show. But what do you make of the current state of comedy? Like, particularly concerns that there are topics that are now off limits and political correctness limiting what you can say or talk about. And, you know, we've heard from people like Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle. Do you feel like it's harder to be a comedian now? And have you adjusted to your style of comedy to match the times?
I think it's absolutely horrible. I think that it was always the comedian's job to tell the emperor that he had no clothes on, for those who can remember that reference. I think the comedy was, you know, used to be a safe space that you knew that a comic could come on and do, you know, jokes that may be politically incorrect, but that's what a comic's job was. I think, you know, we wouldn't be where we were if it were not for Richard Pryor, if it were not for Lenny Bruce, if it were not for Moms Mabley saying irreverent things. The fact that I cannot go into a club and say, this is where you pour out your heart, and that I have to be always worried about somebody having a camera phone, because a comic, when we go to do stand up, we're working things out. So what you hear on the front end, 12, 15 shows later will be so significantly changed because it evolves the joke. But somebody could tape you doing that joke the first time, put it out on YouTube, and now all of a sudden you have to worry about your career being over. And I think it's a sad state of affairs that we're here now as comics. You've asked me, do I adjust my material? I don't. But it makes me say, can I do this? What is the backlash going to be if I do this character? Who's going to say something? So I love comics that just say, I'm going to do it. Bill Burr, D.L. Hughley, you know, you got those comics out there who like, I'm just going to say what I feel.
You mentioned some brilliant comedians. What my favorite question, though, for comedians is, who's on your comedian Mount Rushmore?
Who's on my comedian Mount Rushmore? But men, Dave Chappelle. I love Chris Rock. Cat Williams. As far as men, those are my 3. I love Bill Burr. Love Bill Burr. I want to, if I'm gonna go into the, you know, other than being black, females who are up there at the top, some more is amazing. There's a comic named B Flat who actually will be with me at City Winery. She's very, very underrated. Sheryl Underwood, before she got Jesus, was a beast. And after she got Jesus, she's a Christian beast. but she's one of the top to me.
Yeah, I remember. Damn, what was the show on BET? Comic View with some more. Oh my goodness, Cheryl Underwood. I mean, would a show like that survive today?
I think it would. I think that we do need a Def Jam.
But let's executive produce it. Let's just go out there and do it.
I don't even watch TV. I can't take on another producing. There's projects that are in the works.
You busy. So never mind. You too busy.
I'm too busy, but hopefully somebody would be out there. Because I think that a BET or a Def Jam, gosh, it's needed. People need to laugh. I think that's what the success of my show is because I know that in the midst of all of the stuff that's going on and the heartache and the fear that we're going through, people want to escape and they just want something that's going to make them feel good for 55 minutes, an hour. And so I know what I'm bringing. So I think, yes, a comedy show where it's us represented, I think people would love.
Let's talk about your show for a minute. You've got your own show, Sherry, which you just racking up NAACP Image Awards. I don't know how many of them you got in the house, but
3.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what's the recipe in your mind for how to create and sustain a successful daytime show? Because that's hard.
How to create and sustain. I think for a show, you have to know who you are. You have to know who your audience is. That was one of the questions I remember that Oprah asked me, like, who is your audience? So you have to know who you're playing to, because for me, I know my audience is single women, single moms, entrepreneurs, women who've gone through it and have come back from it, women of a certain age, you know, women who are divorced. I know the fan base of women that I have. So if you come to me with, oh my gosh, we got a 21-year-old girl and she's pouring beer over her boobs while people are going, take it off. I'm not gonna show a story like that because that's not my fan base and it's not authentic to me. So I would tell people, you have to know who you are and who you are playing to. Even in stand-up comedy, when I first started stand-up, I love Cheryl Underwood. I would go up on stage and be like, if you want to heckle me, I'm gonna stab you. First of all, as soon as I smile, you know, good and doggone well, I'm not gonna fight you. So, and Cheryl Underwood was like, stop trying to be me because it's not working. So you have to know who you are, because I think people like authenticity.
That's called a good friend too.
That's called a good friend. Cheryl saved me from a lot of fights. But it's just, you have to be authentic and you have to know who you're playing to. Maintaining it, you have to be authentic and know who you're playing to. And you have to be willing to take risks and be fearless, because some things are going to work, some things are not. Today, I interviewed Lena Waithe and I said, oh my gosh, you took your premiere. You guys were at the world famous Apollo. And she said, Sherry, you always getting stuff wrong. We were not at the Apollo. We were at the Magic Johnson Theaters. Every time you open your mouth. And I was like, for real? And then we kept going. Everybody in the audience is like, that's Sherry. She don't even remember nothing. You know, so you just have to be authentic and be okay if it goes all wrong, because you can make it right.
Now I hope people are listening to that. That's so powerful. How can people watch the show and support it?
Oh, wow. Well, first, depending on what city you're in, you can always.
I need to add Simone real quick. No.
This one I know because Simone got on me. you go to SherryShowTV.com. You can put in your zip code and we will tell you where we are playing anywhere in the United States. If you get off work late and we are done playing, we are always on YouTube. You can subscribe to YouTube at Sherry Show TV. We have a lot of people all over the world who look at us on YouTube. We play the full episode on YouTube, but we had part of the royal family come over from Kuwait to see the show. And I was like,
I thought you were about to say Megan and them were on the show. Cause that's messy in itself. I was like, you had Megan on the show?
Well, and I'd love to be interviewing Megan. That'd be fun. Kuwait. I didn't know. I said, I didn't know Sherry came on. And she said, no, the royal family, a lot of the members watch you on YouTube. And I said, well, maybe we got to do a girls trip over in Kuwait. Do they do zip lining? Because that'd be fun. So, you know, you can check it out on YouTube. But go to Sherry Show TV and it'll tell you where we're playing.
One of the people that you talked about was Chris Rock. And I know you've seen his most recent special. He's a friend of yours, I think. You're the first comedian I've had on. I mean, who some people think they're funny, but you are gifted and this is your craft. Talk about his response to Will and how the industry looks at it and your takeaways from it. Because you know, everybody has their own opinions, but as somebody who studies the art of comedy, like you do, you see things we do not.
I think that this was comics use what happens to them. And they always think, wait till I take this to the stage. I got a sitcom called Sherry based on the fact that my husband cheated on me and had a baby. And I took that story to the stage, and that's where somebody saw it and was like, oh my gosh, we got to do a sitcom from this. Chris, I knew when that whole incident happened, Chris is going to talk about this on stage. That is the way he's going to get this out. Everybody was waiting. I say, do you know how hard it was for him not to say anything for a whole year? And so when I see people saying, let it go, you know, well, you weren't the one that got slapped in front of the world.
Yeah.
And I felt like he had to get that out. And I felt like that's why I stumbled on his joke. If you watched it, he messed up on a joke. It was so much energy, raw energy, anger that he had never been able to get out. And he took it out on stage. As a comic, I'm like, and that's what he was supposed to have done. And I think that people got crazy. Always making fun of slavery. No, he was making fun of a particular person and being in that movie because Chris is like, I got my ass whooped on stage. I love seeing him get his ass whooped in this movie. It was just like, as a comic, I'm like, that's exactly what you were supposed to have done. It happened, and you took it and you turned it around and you twisted it, and it was funny. He was like, Will Smith played Muhammad Ali. I played so-and-so in Pootie Tang. That's a joke. I'm going brilliant, brilliant, you know? And so I love stand-up. I love Chris Rock as a stand-up. I always thought Chris Rock was just hysterical and funny and able to do stuff that nobody can do. And Dave Chappelle, the same. Some more the same. That's what we do. We take hard subjects and we make them funny. Subjects that other people would not dare touch. That's what a comic does.
You know, one of the people that I talk about all the time, and I don't feel like they necessarily get their due, but when you look at In the Foxhole or some of these other things, how do comics look at somebody like Jamie Foxx,
Jamie Foxx is very respected. I've known Jamie since Jamie was a struggling comic. Jamie was out there every night at the comedy clubs. Comics who have gone, you know, who are of our age group, the D.L. Hughleys, the Earthquakes, the Michael Blacksons. Jamie was putting in the work. Jamie's not an actor who became a comic. Jamie went to, I don't know if it was NYU or Juilliard. He was a singer, but he got into stand-up. And I remember meeting him when he was doing it. He was always hysterically funny. I wish Jamie would go back to doing his roots, doing stand-up. It's a little harder though, Bakari, when you reach a certain level of success, going back to stand-up, because stand-up is just raw, it's gritty. You're going through stuff and that's what makes people laugh. You know, you're going. And so I remember Chris Tucker said at the height of his fame, he said, what am I going to talk about that I left my keys and my Rolls Royce when I was in France? Because that's at the level nobody's laughing at that. So, you know, I think it may be a little harder for Jamie now, but I sure would love to see him on stage. People who have never seen Jamie, he's really good.
Oh my God. I mean,
Jamie made he had a special. I don't know if he did it on Def Jam. He talked about AIDS. I've never seen anybody make AIDS funny. And it was about his grandmother. Grandmothers who they always say, if something wrong with you, you got to have cancer. And he said, everything that happened, his grandmother said, you got to have AIDS. So it was just brilliant at the time. It was, you know, he stepped out, he did something, something that was very uncomfortable, and he made it funny. Jamie Foxx. Yeah, he's very respected.
Yeah, that's a whole legend. Just a couple more questions, because you are the busiest woman in Showtime.
But I love talking comedy.
But you got as many jobs as Steve Harvey. Anyway, what's harder, what's harder, daytime television or stand-up?
Stand-up. I think stand-up is harder because daytime, it's just people, you know, I don't know. I have a likable personality. And so everything I do
the humility coming out right there, right?
I think but here's the thing. You have to know what your worth is and you have to know what you bring. Because I do have humility, but I know what I'm bringing. That's what I'm saying. When you're talking about how do you create a successful, how do you maintain? You got to know your worth. You have to know what makes you unique, and you have to know what you bring. So when I say, I know I'm likable, I know I bring joy, I know I bring, because that's what it, so when I say it, so it's harder in stand up because it's just you standing there with a microphone, you've written these jokes and you're hoping that they work. When I talk about Kourtney Kardashian or Jason Momoa and what they did, I know I got a funny take, but stand up, it's an art form to doing it. It's a way you set up a joke. It's a way you have to deliver it. It's got to touch people. It's a rhythm. It's a, you know, that is harder for me is stand up.
Are there any projects for you on the horizon that you can talk about? And how can people follow you on social media?
Right now I'm in, I have a recurring role on the HBO Max show, Sex Lives of College Girls, written by and direct, co-executive produced by Mindy Kaling from The Office. And I play Yvette Chase, the most powerful senator in the country, right under the president. And that's a fun role to play because she's like Maxine Waters and Kamala Harris, all in one. And on a show called Harlem, I think my episode just aired on Harlem. And I'm doing a movie this summer. I thought I was supposed to take a break, but I'm doing a movie this summer. So I'm really excited. And pitching some projects to executive produce. Yeah, my social media is at Sherry E. Shepherd. So that's where you can find me, at Sherry E. Shepherd, and then go to Sherry Show TV to find out my stand-up, because I'll be on the road with Kim Whitley this summer doing stand-up, which I'm very excited about.
I'm going to catch it. As long as the shows are before 10 p.m., I'm going to be right there.
I will keep you in mind. I'll make sure I take some early shows. Yeah. 10 is when you get into, though. 10 is when you can, like I told people on the show, this is the Sherry right here at 10 o'clock. Boy, oh, I don't curse.
After Sherry after dark.
Sherry after dark. Yeah, I don't curse because that's when you be putting spells on people. But I'll be cussing. Woo! I can't wait.
All right. Thank you. Love you so much.